Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Lift your hands all over, inside and outside. Lord, we give you all the praise. We bless you. We honor you. We ask, O God, that you will bless us. Thank you for the power of your word and its ability to change, to transform us. Hallelujah. I'd like you to pray one prayer. Father, visit me tonight. Lift your voice and pray. Cry to him. Ask him for a very great visitation by his word. Pray and cry for a visit. Jesus, you love me too much. Thank you for your love for this ministry. We thank you for your love. Thank you for access to light. Thank you for the signs, the wonders, and the miracles that you do in and through us. Lord, we thank you because tonight, again, you will prove yourself mighty in our midst. And we decree and we declare that Jesus himself will be glorified. In the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Good evening. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good evening, everyone. It's good to have everyone around. Very quickly before we start, I want to appreciate, I'm told, where is she? I can't find her. Pastor Petrock's wife, Pastor Twain, God bless you. Let's honor her. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. She was covered somewhere and I cannot find her. Thank you, Ma. Thank you for coming. Thank you. Very wonderful couple doing a great work for God in MENA. Influencing, contending. For Kingdom Relevance, Part 2. We started Part 1 last week, Contending for Kingdom Relevance, Part 2. Please, I'd like to have your attention tonight. I have a lot to share tonight. Every time I'm sharing something that I consider to be important, my prayer, as always, is that we place the same value on those informations. In this kingdom, we are glorified not just by the will of God alone, but our access to the truths of the kingdom. Acts chapter 13, please, and verse 36. Acts chapter 13 and verse 36. Last week we started with that scripture as our text. Let me just open it from here. Acts chapter 13 and verse 36. The Bible says, for David, reading from King James now, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. The verse of emphasis is the A part. It says, for David, after he had served his own generation, Amplified says that he served the purposes of God in his generation. And we began to consider last week how that it is not enough to serve God alone. You must serve God within the context of your generation. Please, if you do not have the teaching, do well to get it. It is very important that you lay your hand on that teaching and listen to it. And we stress the need to not only serve God, but to serve God in our generation. It is possible for a man to serve God and not be relevant within the context of a generation. Are we together? That you can serve God with your all, well-meaning, sincere, but not be able to serve God in a way that inspires a generation. And I think my goal as a person, much more than being in ministry, is to be able to inspire a generation to love and to passionately pursue after God. If I'm able to achieve that in my lifetime, then I think I was able to contribute significantly to the program of God on earth. We must be able to inspire a generation, and that cannot happen outside of influence. I told us that to serve God profitably and to inspire a generation to do the same, we must contend for the requisite level of kingdom influence that it would take to represent the purpose of God on earth. If you are with me, say amen. Amen. We took the A part last week. I have 5 points for you here. And point number one was that you must know God. Are we still together? Dust your notes. Let's look at it. Let's get to work. Daniel 11:32. The Bible says the B part. It says, but the people, Daniel 11:32, but the people that do know their God, but the people that do know their God, the Bible says that they shall be strong and shall do exploits. There is a relationship, as we established last week, between the knowledge, the personal revealed knowledge of God, and your depth and degree of exploits. And we said, according to Psalm 24 and verse 6, just doing a quick recap, how that Jacob for us is the scriptural portrait of what God's idea of seeking him is. That every time God says we should seek him, he doesn't leave us to guess how to seek him. He exemplifies his desire, his intention, and how his pattern of pursuing him in the person Jacob. The Bible says there is a generation that should seek the Lord in the similitude of Jacob. Are we together? And so we'll take from there point number two. Now, please pay attention. Pay attention. When the word of God is coming, Satan is also at work to steal from people the implanted word, the word that is able to profit them. You don't just rise in life by your desire and intentions alone. It is the quality of the word that you receive within your spirit. The second key in contending for generational relevance, the second key is that you must be transformed. Write it down. Transformation is the second key we're going to be dealing with tonight. That no man is able to influence a generation. Please play the strings for me. No man is able to influence a generation effectively, except they are transformed. Are we together? Yes, please. So it matters that we are transformed. And the Bible says in Romans, when you read from verse chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, calls it your reasonable act of service. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed. Listen very carefully to this world. The word world there is the Greek word aeon. It means the mindset, the stronghold, the thinking pattern that comes with the age. It says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Transformation is a key. If you want to sustain a position where you are able to influence a generation, you must be transformed. In this sense, to be transformed means to have a superior belief system. Write it down, please. Let's deal with belief systems a bit. It is the one reason why many of us may never be used by God in a very notable way. We are very well-meaning, we are very sincere, but we have been unable to sustain a superior belief system. Everyone say belief system. Say it again, belief system. Believe me, brothers and sisters, I want you to know that if you want to serve God profitably, especially in the 21st century, you must sustain a belief system that is higher than the cultural background, the limitations that you have come from, the territorial background that comes with your geography, etc. You will never be able to serve the purposes of the kingdom efficiently if you do not sustain a superior belief system. Let's discuss this a bit. Now, many of us come from backgrounds where, because of our upbringing, we have sustained thinking patterns that may be well-meaning but are not consistent with the ways of God. Are we together? I have taught us extensively on mindsets. We have discussed strongholds, but then it will never be too much to continue to teach us until we bend to that formation that the word seeks to bring in us with respect to transformation. Your belief system must be higher than your background. Your belief system must be higher than your failures. Your belief system must be higher than your current level of exposure if you want to contend for relevance. There are men of God, women of God, and churches whose relevance cannot be outside certain geographic regions, because although they are anointed, although they love God, the biases that come with their belief systems, be it cultural, be it sociological, the biases that come with their belief system will not afford them the opportunity to expand, to be global in perspective. To maintain or sustain a superior belief system does not mean compromising on your kingdom standards, but it means to have the flexibility to be able to adjust, to approach life from a global view, though from a kingdom perspective. You must be global in your mindset. As I'm talking now, there are people following from different nations, and you must be able to communicate Christ in such a way and manner that, in spite of their cultural limitations, in spite of their sociological differences, you are able to present the purposes of Christ in a way that is understood and received by them. Anyone who cannot do that will not be relevant. It's as simple as that. Is God speaking to us? The mistake that many of us make is that when we start out something in life, we keep scrounging around for people who relate with our geographic experiences as though they are the only ones we are called and sent to. Are we together? I come from Plateau State, for instance, and I can start ministry, and the design of the ministry was only for those who come within my geographic context. Anyone who is Igbo or Yoruba or from Ghana or from Australia will not be blessed by that service, because the program was so designed to only minister to whoever has my kind of geographic context. That's a very dangerous understanding. You can be anointed, but then God will not anoint you to be able to bless people, because the limitation, you do not sustain a superior belief system. Your paradigm has not been so constructed such that you can minister to people of all races and communicate Christ. Are we blessed? It's the reason why many businesses don't rise beyond certain levels in Africa. Is the reason why many ministries do not go out of their localized environment. It doesn't mean to compromise on your standards, but to sustain the flexibility to know that you are dealing with a generation that has come from a backlog of belief systems, and that in as much as you define what you want to be your primary belief system, you must have the flexibility to be able to adjust to different cultures. Are we together? To adjust to different doctrinal approaches to spirituality without being compromised. I preach in different churches regardless of their doctrinal beliefs. I am able to maintain my convictions, but to be able to navigate through the tides of doctrinal and denominational differences such that you can preach Christ in a way and a manner that does not end up offending and destroying the people you are ministering to. A transformed mind. Satan prefers you healed. In fact, Satan prefers you anointed without a transformed mind, because he knows the oil will remain small for as long as the vessel is small. Are we together? The increase in the oil is not dependent on God's will alone. It's dependent on the size of the vessel. When the woman was saying the oil is small, the oil was hearing her. And you can imagine the oil saying, I am not small. You have only hosted me in a small vessel. And the prophet said, I know where the problem is. Go and borrow vessels. You don't need another oil. The oil you have has infinite potentials. Expand capacity for that oil to find expression. That's why you see that some of us that are carrying the anointing of certain fathers seem to look more anointed than them. We are not more anointed than them. The anointing just came on a superior mindset, so it gave it more room for expression. Are we together? A prophet who never had the opportunity to go to school, a prophet who never had the opportunity to learn a number of languages, a prophet who never had the opportunity to travel outside of Nigeria, outside of his physical environment, there is a perspective that even the knowledge of God cannot break. So he will communicate Christ with the limitation of that perspective. If you come now and receive that same anointing with a renewed mind, you now give the anointing a broader perspective to be able to manifest itself. You need a transformed mind, brothers and sisters. You don't just need anointing on your head. You need a transformed mind. The law of the mind is a principle that I have taught us again and again. I watch people, did you know? I honestly watch people, and many times I feel sad. I don't even know how to start praying for them, because I know that the prayer I want to pray for them will not be answered. The faultiness of their belief system will necessitate that answer never arrives to their life. Are we together? There are people who, they may be attacked by demons, yes. They may be doing a lot of things, but the kind of result they are crying for requires a certain level of renewal and transformation. And because they have not contended for that level of renewal, you know that prayer will never be answered in their life. And it's a very frustrating thing for a man of God, because you can't tell somebody who is crying and saying, Apostle, can God show up for me in this area? You already know that thing will not be answered. As far as that person remains at that level of thinking, that prayer will never be answered in his life. It's a very difficult thing. That's why sometimes when I'm counseling people, I just pray for them. Because it's very difficult. You look at the person talking and you see the backlog of limiting belief systems that empower the gates of hell over the life of the individuals. And then you see the intention, the sincerity, the purity of their heart. You know what they desire. You see how true the desire is. But you know that desire will never come to pass that way, except they contend for a superior belief system. You look at people and you know that this guy is already pegged to his loyalty to cultural beliefs. Cultural beliefs that are not kingdom compliant. And you know that as far as this international context of ministry that this brother or sister is desire of, you can have visions in the realm of the spirit of yourself having branches all around. You will not go anywhere. Many of us do not have the level of adjustment that allows us to be global in our approach. Are we together now? Just because you see a lady look like this or a guy look like this It can get you so offended to a point that you cannot communicate Christ to the person. And now that's the person who wants 10,000 members. You cannot have 10,000 members who all believe your context, your cultural context or doctrinal context. That means you are going to create a system of bias in that church that will be clear to a certain group of people that you are not sympathetic to them. And very soon there will be all versions of revolt coming from their frustrations. It is not God nor his inability to reach us, but that our level of transformation has not ascended enough to be able to capture that dimension of spiritual possibility that we seek. If God is speaking to you, say amen. Amen. Many people want finances. And they think all there is to finances is business. You hear them pray and fast. They even write, oh God, I'm trusting you for 1 million per month. And they have no respect for money. They just call it one. Whereas their thinking level, notice, even financially, look at the figure that recycles around your life. It's a reflection of the only amount your mind can host. If they bless you higher than that, your thinking will reduce it to a circle. Some people will never go past 100,000. Give them 10 million. In 2 weeks, it has returned back. Because your mindset is like a calibrator. Like a thermostat of an iron. It pegs at a level of thinking and stops there. There are pastors, the moment they cross 100 members, something must happen in that church and return the members back to 100. It's not about any bias for growth. It's because they have not yet contended through transformation to the level of leadership that can make them to be able to pastor and lead that number of people. Before you cry that heaven releases something to you, find out whether you have created space through a transformed mind to host that dimension of spiritual reality. Otherwise, you are going to waste resources. Are we blessed? Transformation. I've taught us that you are a reflection of what you think about. Now, please don't think this is some positive thinking teaching. No matter who you are, you will never be able to serve the purposes of the kingdom above and beyond your level of understanding of God, of life, and the transformation that your mind gives God. You see, the danger of serving God without a transformed mind is that because some measure of anointing will still be on your life, though you are not transformed, the limitation of your mindset will ride along with the anointing and make people think it's the anointing that is making you behave that way. If koinonia is not excellent, for instance, you will think that the kind of anointing on Joshua Selman is what makes for you to not be excellent. So now I can use my imperfection in the area of excellence to mean just because the sick are getting healed through my life, it must be the anointing that is making me trivialize the need for excellence. And when you receive the anointing from my life, you will also receive the impartation of the limitation to a life of excellence. And so you see people, mentor after mentor, impartation after impartation, and the lapse that lack of transformation brings will continue moving, and we will make it look as though it was God or it came with the anointing. No. A transformed mind will produce a transformed life. A transformed life will produce a destiny that is worthy of emulation. Nobody will emulate you just because you think you are born again. There are many people who are worthy of being listened to, but not worthy of being followed. That you are that people are listening to you does not mean that they can follow you. It takes more than good preaching to be emulated. They must look at the construction of your belief systems to be superior enough to be worthy of them to mold their life after your belief. You're not just going to come with one Greek and Hebrew word, one suit and one watch, one car and one house, and then believe that people will follow you. You cannot inspire a generation that way. Your belief system must be so superior, and it will tell on the kind, the quality, and the frequency of results that you get. And then it will cause someone to say, look, I will follow after you as you follow after Christ.
Nobody just follows you because there are all kinds of men of God moving up and down, yoking young people in the name of sons and daughters. You must follow me. But the son and the daughter is seeing an inferior life where the life you are living does not reflect the dimension God is showing him. Yet you are still pressing him and saying, you must follow me. And he said, Mr. Man, I will follow you if you transit to reflect how my future should be. Be transformed. You can never truly rise above your mindset. I meet people all the time. I travel to several places, and most times the people relate with me within the context of their cultures. And I am grateful to God for teaching me the ability to have flexibility in belief systems. Otherwise, I don't know how many churches, how many regions I would hurt with statements, not knowingly. I would hurt with behavioral patterns. You see Reinhard Bonnke and all these evangelists, when they come to Africa, they try to look for African attires and wear. They try to learn thank you and God bless you, even in Yoruba. You think they like it like that? They are trying to create a system that makes them look sympathetic to that territory so that their voice will be heard. Are we together? You must sustain a superior belief system. You can go to a church where they don't allow you to move up and down around the pulpit. Do you have a superior belief system to stand and conform with the way that church believes in the operation and still teach Christ? There are churches that you may not be allowed to pray in tongues openly while you are preaching. Don't just say, me, I'm like this, so you don't know my encounter with the Holy Ghost. When if we everywhere, they must know that I'm an addict. Then you are going to remain small. You will keep impressing the small people who think like you and never become global in your perspective. Is God blessing someone? You must be flexible. We are excellent people, but we are not fools. You see, during the miracle service, sometimes someone is healed and maybe you are taking the testimony and the woman cannot speak English. You are not going to yoke this woman and say, when is she going to learn English? Just because she didn't have the opportunity to learn English, you yoke her? No. Are we together? We are global, but we are in Zaria. Madam, speak Hausa. Are we together? Speak what you can speak and let someone interpret it. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Yes. But at the same time, I'm not going to travel to Lagos or travel outside this country and go and I'm speaking and I'm giving examples that can only be understood by people in Zaria. Many of you carry your background everywhere. God is saying, depart from AI to a land flowing with milk and honey. We carry that background. You go somewhere and stand and raise a song that only you know. And then you are watching and seeing the, I clash that cymbal. And they are watching you and say, what in the world is going on here? And you will be so impressed with yourself until you are no longer invited. They have a board meeting and say, no, don't ever bring him again. Is God speaking to us? You must be kingdom in your approach, but you must be global in your perspective. When you want to become a voice to your generation, you must understand that you are not a voice to Yoruba people. You are not a voice to Igbo people. You are not a voice to Hausa people. You are not a voice to Africans. You are a voice to as many as God will call. And the way you behave must be able to adjust in a way and manner that, of course, you will be sympathetic to the soil where you are domiciled in, but at the same time be flexible enough for people of all races and cultures to be able to find a place for themselves. A global approach to life, a superior mindset. I say it with all humility. Most men of God usually are invited within certain regions and certain contexts and no more. If I'm a northerner, chances are that all the churches that should invite me to preach should only be northern churches. Why? Because I relate, I'm more sympathetic to their sociological context. But that's not the case. There is nowhere in this nation and outside of this nation that God has taken me to that have not been received with joy, because I have mastered the art of upgrading my understanding, my paradigm, and my approach to life in a way and manner that is able to help me communicate Christ effectively. I've gone to places where an interpreter is needed. I just stand up and I think the guy is coming to tell me the time, and then I just see him with a mic too. Whatever I say, he repeats it. Or automatically I know that, okay, we have to be wise in that approach. How the power of God will move with this kind of limitation, you have to find a way to walk through it. Greets the man, smile at him, and the people are already laughing because they know that that's not how you preach usually. So they are extra blessed because of the fortitude to make that adjustment. Are you seeing that now? People already know how you are in your default state. So when you go out of your way to make that adjustment, it's a show of spiritual maturity that you have the ability to have revolted and say, you invited me, please, Mr. Man, walk out of this stage. But you are able to limit yourself to create a context that allows you to minister Christ. Powerful revelation. Be transformed. Be transformed. Brothers and sisters, be transformed. Live where you are. Don't let your background cause you to think in a way and manner that you think everyone is from your village. And every time you see people behave in a way that is not consistent with your cultural context, you are tempted to insult them. No, sir. No, sir. There are things you cannot do as a northerner. You know, northerners, we are fairly conservative in our approach to life. There are things that you may not be able to do normally. Are we together now? But then you go to certain regions and you see them do it. There are places that, you know, I'm here, I'm somebody who is very organized and excellent, and I like things in decency and order. But there are churches that you can go to that just a young guy from the choir comes to just tap your back as if you are his mate and gives you mic. Say, this one is nice. And you can turn and say, Mr. Go on Facebook. Are you crazy? Is there something wrong? I am Apostle Joshua Selman. No, sir. You have to have the flexibility to understand. That gentleman is not rude. He is only a victim of the context of his culture. That's why many Nigerians go abroad and look like thieves. They carry all kinds of siren and move around, and people say, who is this guy? He is a man of God. He just drops down in a hot afternoon with a suit and a collar and a big chain and stands. And while he's talking, the people cannot connect. Not because they are bad. It's strange to them. And then he begins to speak. I hope you are using generator. And they say, no, they don't take light here. And you embarrass yourself. And you are spiritual. You are born again. But the limitation of... Now, listen. Some of you are laughing, but what I'm saying is very serious. The limitation of your context. There are homes you go to as a leader. They don't eat on the chairs, the sofas there. They all go to the dining table. Are we together now? And one day God is going to open doors for you, and then you go there and they sit and say, what are we doing there? Say, we're going. You say, for what? Me? No. I hardly eat. How many times do I eat in a week? I'm always fasting. So what? So what? You must sustain a superior belief system. Brothers and sisters, hear me. Remember that I'm on a project to helping you become men and women of influence. Not only spiritual people. You can persecute me now because you don't understand what you are yet becoming. Until you get to the future and you turn back, you say, Apostle, thank you. Thank you. You're not going to carry yesterday into tomorrow and want tomorrow to clap for you for bringing yesterday into it. No. Seeing then that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, he says, let us lay aside every weight. Weights are not sin necessarily. There are backlog of information and mindset, belief systems that may not be appropriate for the context that God is taking you. Are we together? Superior belief systems. There are churches, and I say that with due honor, please, I don't mean to be sarcastic. There are churches where women are not given any regard for any reason, including the pastor's wife. And the pastor's wife is comfortable with it because she grew within that context, so she doesn't expect anything. So doing what I just did to appreciate Pastor Petrock's wife, A board can call a meeting and say, no, let's sit down. Something is going on in this church. What the? They've never clapped for us. And a woman, not a woman. So what if she's a pastor's wife? Context of culture. So you will go somewhere and find out that they are introducing people. The anointing is boiling in you for the mic to be given so that you preach. And they are saying, let's take our time and appreciate our mother in the Lord. She is a this. And you are saying, what kind of carnal believers are these? No. You must have the accommodation. Because not a thing may be weakness to you, but it's not weakness in another culture. There is a culture where a father and his child cannot eat in the same plate. It's impossible under no circumstance. There is a culture where a father eating with his child is proof of love. So you don't go somewhere and see a son eating with his father and even feeding the father and you say, my God, what taboo is this? Let's be careful. Preserve your belief systems, but have the flexibility to give the world you live in a chance to know Christ. Give people a chance. Give people a chance. Don't turn everyone to look like you. Give people a chance. You must have that flexibility. Hold a superior mindset that allows you to be able to accommodate people's limitation or people's context. Sometimes it's not a limitation. They are just different than you. That's all. Are we together? Next week is my birthday. I thank God for it. I don't celebrate birthdays. Listen. I never saw any of my loved ones celebrating birthdays. In fact, sometimes my parents used to forget their birthdays. We just remind them and say, ah, it's your birthday. Say, oh, glory be to God. I came from a background where celebrating things at all. And then because of my approach to life, my standards to life on many fronts are very high. So even when I've done something that is worthy of commendation, I sometimes find myself rejecting any drive for commendation to say, look, we need to aspire. I'm a very visionary person. Once you do something, it's done. Glory be to God. Let's face forward. What is the next thing? Are you seeing that? Some come from families where they come back with results 17th position and they cut chicken for you. 17th position and you eat chicken. Are we together? Now, God calls you with that person to work together in ministry. You take first and your father says, why do you have one in punctuality? As if he didn't see first position. I'm not concerned about first. What is first? What is first? And someone is taking 17th and the father will say, I never went to school. Thank you. Cut chicken. Those two people working together, if they don't create a system of accommodating their limitation, there will be a lot of problem. And the Holy Spirit will be blamed for it. All of them are spiritual. Remember, this guy will say it's the Holy Spirit that trained me that way. This one will say the Holy Spirit is a spirit of celebration. With joy shall you draw out of the wells of salvation. This one will say one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind. All of them is still scripture they are bringing. But their belief systems are different. This guy tells himself, I want to buy myself a birthday gift of a watch. He said, what kind of thing is that? You waste money and celebrate yourself. Are you the only one doing this and that? And you see that those people can be anointed and then they never go global. Imagine that I am such a leader and I see you celebrating something. I say, Pastor Alpha, why are you celebrating your son? He said, well, we just glory. I say, what nonsense is that? There are souls perishing. There are lives. There are mission agencies. How can you spend 50,000 on your child? Is he the only one that is coming? What kind of attitude is that? Now imagine what I'm presenting. And it's as soon as I talk to him, I lift someone out of a wheelchair. So you may use the result of the wheelchair to think it's the Holy Spirit that taught me how to be that. And then this guy on the other hand keeps celebrating everything and finishes the church money. God gives them 100,000. The 100,000 goes on celebration. Are we together? Today is his day of being born again spiritually. Tomorrow is the first day he encountered a book that transformed his mind. Next week is the first day he met his wife. Not anniversary, the day he met his wife to celebrate. And all is the church that pays for it. And at the end of it, his life looks loud and carnal. And some members say, something is wrong with our pastor. Are you seeing why members sit down and group themselves according to their mindset and create whatever trouble their mindset can identify? Have you noticed that they don't sing local songs here? This one, have you noticed that it's just American? We don't sing American songs. All those things are reflections of limiting beliefs. Are we together? I once gave someone 10,000 naira to buy something. What he was going to buy, there is 2,000 of it. I gave him the money intentionally because I wanted to prove to him that his mindset was not yet upgraded. I gave him the money. I said, buy it. He didn't even the 2,001, he didn't buy it. Because he just felt, how can I carry this and do this? But it was a gift. I just gave him money to do it. May God deliver us from the limitations of an inferior thinking. Look at me. Let me explain something to you. Two people come. Happy, come. Stand here. Chion, stand here. These are two different people. Listen, coming from two different cultural contexts. Do you know that the danger of not having an upgraded mindset works twofold? Number one, this lady now, because of her, just an example, my dear, an inferior mindset that she may be sustaining, listen carefully, it can make this lady to fall into the hands of a bad man, because intrinsically, because of her mindset, she has believed, I am not good enough. So that low level thinking of not knowing you are wonderfully and fearfully made can make her fall into the hands of a wicked man who will kick her like a football every day. Are we together now? Because she already sustains a mindset that says, I am weak. It's a privilege. Dangerous. Then, I wish it's another lady. You go back. Another lady, come. Stand here. This other lady, because of her awareness of how inferior her mind is, will become aggressive in her approach to life in a way to prove that she's not just a low-level lady. Are you seeing that two of them are behaving? The same mindset is informing different behaviors. This one now just settles for just anything in life. I don't mean it has to be married, just anything in life. Someone can come and bully her and just collect her phone, collect anything, and you don't have a voice. This other person, you come, don't think I'm not, you know, I'm this, that, I'm wonderful, I'm faithful. All those ranting is as a result of an intrinsic low-level esteem that she's having, and she uses aggression to fight it. Both people need deliverance from insensitive aggression and from giving yourself cheap to life. There is a mindset. Is God speaking to us? I'm dwelling here because if you understand what I'm teaching you, my life changed. Listen, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, and I say it with all humility. I never went out of Zaria to be renewed and come back. So wherever you are, it's enough for the transformation to come. All this lie of saying, I must go to Dubai first and America. Exposure is important, don't get me wrong. But he said, from where thou art, lift up your eyes. You can start from where you are and say, look, we came from a family where when rain falls, we don't know what part is according to the heaviness of the rain. That's where it determines which location rain will fall, the water will drop in. But from there, you can start thinking, in the name of Jesus, I will be a blessing to nations. In the name of Jesus, I'm upgrading my mind by the Spirit. I have Gary, that's all I have in my wardrobe. But in the name of Jesus, I will feed nations. While you are doing that, we live in a very sarcastic world that will want to intimidate you. You don't have to revolt in weakness, but at the same time, you maintain a healthy perspective constructed by the Word of God. That's why it's important to know the Word of God. You need to know what God has said about you so that you will not listen to what God did not say about you. When you know what God has said about you, it doesn't matter what another person says. Is God speaking to us? Which of these two are you? As a result of limiting beliefs. There are many of us who have the call of God upon our lives. But as you are like this, you would dare not say yes to the call. Because you've never seen anyone rise in your background. That the most educated person has SSC in your family. SSC, that's all. And so God says, I'm going to use you. And you are like, it's not for people like us. Oh God, I will gladly be an usher in whatever church it is. And God says, no. According to my predetermined counsel, you are the one I will use. Is God speaking to us? Brothers and sisters, I bring you a word. As limited as you look, you are still the one God is talking about. When God talks about an army that will rise, listen very carefully. When God talks about men and women who will rise and shake the gates of hell, He's not talking about someone somewhere. I have always maintained the resolve that anything good I see in the Bible, I say God is talking about me. Listen. If I didn't have a superior mindset, I wouldn't be in ministry now. Because our world is full of sarcastic people who will bully you psychologically. They will make it look like, what is the basis of doing ministry? What is this? What is that? Where will you get money from? To hell with the devil. I came to preach to someone that in the name that is above all names, whatever God has said you will become, you must become. Adonai, Lamb of God, you are worthy, worthy of my praise. King of kings, Lord of lords, let your kingdom reign in my life. Adonai. Adonai, let your kingdom come in my life. Replace the old ideas. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom reign. Let your kingdom reign. Listen, if you will allow God change your belief system, I promise you, there is no devil in hell that can stop where you will go to. They will just keep criticizing while you are rising, like an inferno of fire. No devil will stop you. Listen, let me teach you something. Be inspired, be challenged, but never intimidated. Don't let any man born of a woman stand and bully you emotionally, whether because of finances or because of looks or because of education. The devil is a liar. In the name of Jesus, every voice you have been listening to that has made you to reject the purposes of God in your life, I silence that voice over your life now. Sit down. Ejimi is here. Ask him when the Lord began to speak to us about what the messages will do around the world. I didn't sit down saying from Zaria to the whole world. Haba, is it people like us? When there are great men like the Oyedepos and the Papa Ie Adeboes. I honor them, I respect them. But not to the detriment of my revelation of God. Come on now, please. Don't love Joshua Selman so much that you look down on yourself and your destiny and your anointing. Love him and give him the honor that is due, but say, I'm coming too. There is an anointing upon my life. No, sir. And sometimes we pastors love it. We love it when people demean themselves to prove that we are great. I'm telling you, the devil is a liar. There is no good leader that will not want to see his people rise up and even be greater than him. We started that message and I announced to them. I said, the Lord said we should not sell any one of the tapes. That I told him, I said, I saw the message on the wings of the Spirit going everywhere. Ejimi was the one who designed the logo of ENI. Ask him, he will tell you. Ejimi almost cried designing that logo. I couldn't design, but I told him, you must design what I saw in the spirit. He would do this. I said, no, sir, this is not what I saw. Adjust this. He was so tired. I said, this logo you are seeing is going to the nations. Design it well. Ask him. I saw the vision. I said, your hand, you must find a way of seeing what God showed me. Rejoice not over me, my enemies. Is it because I came from a background where we don't have light? Is it because our house was made with mud house? My mind is not mud mind. No, sir. No, sir. Listen, I have proven with my life that you can break any barrier. It's true. God has used me as a statement to prove to you that this race, bar, my brother, if God holds your hand, let the people keep talking. You just move. You just move and watch with shock and wonder. Who has lied to you that just because you read this or you have this, you cannot be great in life? Who told you cannot contend for a position of influence? You go to bed in the night and see a massive crusade. You get up and say, no, it's Reinhard Bonnke's crusade. God says, no, it's you. And while he's talking, he says, God, when so man of God has not even done that, what is your business with the man of God's call? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That which you have revealed, let it come. When Koinonia was about to start, I was in a retreat and I saw the visions and I was sharing it with them. One of the things that I love, you hear me talk a lot about Ejimi. One of the things that I love about him is because he's always a victim of my revelations. When God shows me like this, I call him and just keep pounding it on him. And sometimes I honestly see that he wants to be honorable to say, Apostle, look, I don't doubt you. I'm a man of faith too, but will it happen? You see why it's dangerous to be close to me? Because when you are listening, you can't say it won't happen. Because automatically you have become an antichrist. And any antichrist in my life must go. You are here right now. You trekked from where you were here. But God has given you the name of your foundation. And God already told you that you will be spending as much as $1 billion per year. And you are saying, God, please, I give that vision to Ejimi. And God says, why do you belittle me? Brothers and sisters, I bring before you an arrogant society that does not know the power of God. They don't know that God is the lifter of men. So when God shows you things, you go to them for accreditation. And they use their limitation to say, God has never moved this way. No. There is nowhere I cannot go to. No. There is, and I'm not just saying this just because God has brought some measure of results. It's been like that. Those who know me from day one, it's not boasting. I'm not talking of vain arrogance. That's not what I'm talking about. A settled confidence. But I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that one day I will not beg for bread, that one day the nations will gather together. Right from those days when we were sitting on the ground, I used to describe the international headquarters of this ministry, that I saw about 47 flags of nations. I used to say it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say it and hear sarcastic people speak. God said you will marry a pastor. God doesn't have any woman to give his son, and he will come and give a village girl like you. And God says, that's right, it's village as I want, so that the excellency of power may be of God and not of men. Can you pray in tongues just for 1 minute and say, Lord, I reject any belief system that is not consistent with your ways and your word. Yes, you are able to take me high. Yes, you are able to lead me to the place of destiny. Praise. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shabada katula bakata senema kataya labas. Great things have I spoken of you, O Zion. Lord, I believe you. I believe you. I believe you. I believe you. Hallelujah. Listen. Listen. Brothers and sisters, when you find your destiny through the word, then the first limitation, listen, sit down, sit down, sit down. The first thing to change in your life is not your shoe. The first thing to change in your life is not your, what they call this thing, your hair. The first thing to change in your life is not your toothpaste. The first thing to change in your life is not your room. The first thing to change, second only to your encounter with the Spirit, is your mind. Remain with the dirty clothes and let your mind keep changing. And see whether your mind will not buy new clothes and change that body. We spend time trying to live a fake life, buying every other thing and starving our minds. There are pastors who start ministry. They know nothing about church growth, no anointing, no nothing. They buy the most expensive suits, expensive watches, expensive chair and room, and they preach to themselves. Hallelujah! Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. You are seated on the throne. Hallelujah! Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. You are seated on the throne. Hallelujah! Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. You are seated on the throne. Hallelujah! Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. You are seated on the throne. That's a song you will be singing when your mind causes your life to change. Let me tell you this. Quit this pressure of living a fake life. If all you have is Gary, take it with honor. Whoever has gone ahead of you, those who go ahead of you have a funny way of turning back to make you look like, oh, just to let you know, I just ate turkey. God bless you with your turkey. My turkey is here. I am patient enough to let it come. The creative power, the superior power, there is no demon that can stand a transformed mind. I tell you this, your mind is a gate. Let it grow right where you are. You are a man of God, but no one is placing a demand yet on your grace and ministry. Don't start moving around with cards and getting angry and say, Jimmy, is it that you didn't know God called me? Can't you invite me for the prayer meeting? It's a sign you are not growing. Remain in the wilderness and continue to build your mind. When your season of appearing comes, brothers and sisters, you will sit down and wonder and say, you mean life can be this cheap? I'm not in a hurry to go where God has not taken me to. I would rather get there here and be patient. But when I do get there, you will know He took me there. Hallelujah! Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. You are seated on the throne. Hallelujah! Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. You are seated on the throne. Contending for kingdom relevance, the power of transformation. You are global in your approach. No one intimidating you, only inspiring you. Don't gather people in your life to intimidate you. Gather them to inspire you, to provoke you to godliness. If my life is intimidating you, I'm destructive to your destiny. I was almost saying verse 3. Number 3. Jesus. We will all be great. And the best part is that we will all know ourselves. It's true. What you are receiving is like an infection. You will never be able to undo it. It's true. It's like you gave somebody chloroquine, and then you tell the person to remove out the chloroquine again. How are you going to do it? It's already there. Just be patient. If it's an itch, enjoy it for, I don't know how long it happens, 3 to 5 days. That's how your destiny is. What is entering your spirit and your mind cannot be brought out again. There's only entrance. There's no exit. Once it gets there, by yourself, you will turn and see your life changing. And you say, God, what is going on? Then you will sing this song by yourself, not as a special number, but a testimony. And they glorified God in me. Number 3, let's hurry up. The third key in contending for kingdom relevance is that you must be extremely valuable. Write it down. Key number 3, extreme value. Those who will be representatives of the purposes of God for their generation, please write it down, are not only men and women who will know God. They are not only men and women who will be transformed. Your transformation affects you alone. It is your value that affects others. Your value is proof that you have been transformed. Your transformation blesses you alone. It is your value that now extends to others. And that's when your life begins to be rewarded, when you are valuable. The law of value is a powerful key. That your similarities decide your comfort. It is your difference that decides your rewards. When you are similar with people in many respects, you are able to stay together. It creates a system of accommodation. But for your rewards in life, it is your value and your difference. Whether it is in ministry, whether it is in business, in career, those who are extremely valuable, valuable beyond ignoring, they are the ones who will command influence in today's world. Is God speaking to us? Extreme value. Extreme value. Years ago, my dear mentor of blessed memory, Dr. Miles Munro, while he was mentoring me in the area of purpose and value, it didn't make sense to me that when you are so valuable, Gentiles will come to your light and they are kings to the brightness of your rising. But today I see it. The proof that you are valuable is that men are seeking for you. If no one is looking for you, it's a message from your future to your today. Upgrade. Be valuable. All men seek for you. Not just to the degree to which you love God, but to the degree to which you have represented value to them. And they will not seek for you empty-handed. They will seek for you with their gold and their silver. They will seek for you with gold. They will seek for you with frankincense. They will seek for you with myrrh. They will never come empty-handed. Your generation is too scarce of value to ignore you when you are valuable. The greed of men cannot stop your reward system when you are valuable. Extremely valuable. When I talk to people and I tell them, what can you do? And they say, I can do this. My next question is, how good are you? I say, no, but God is helping us. That is a religious talk by lazy people. Are we together? It's an excuse. It's proof that they have pegged themselves at a level and would not want to rise higher. Say, no problem, here and there. No. Oh, you are a music minister. How good are you? Well, I'm trying. Trying like what? We live in a world where value is so scarce. When it is truly seen, it is sought immediately. Immediately. I was blessed when my dear brother, the pastor there, sent me a text. You can imagine that he just came here and a woman calls him to give him all of that. Imagine that someone tells him now, that this man of God is a herbalist. He says he's a good herbalist. I want that kind of herbalist. Hallelujah. The reason why the excuses they bring in your life is valued is because your value is lower than the excuses. When your value rises higher than any excuse that can be brought against you, people will ignore even what is obvious to seek you. You go to buy suya and you stand and the smoke is all over your face and your clothes, but the value is too important for the smoke to deter you. Are we together? You stand there salivating patiently. Two people in front of you and you are not complaining. Your dignity notwithstanding, if you can make the meat go home. It's as simple as that. And the person making it is not in a hurry. He's not in a hurry. If you have, he didn't force you, you can. And you stand, you complain but remain. You insult but remain. This will be my last time but remain. It's your last time until after 3 days when you are hungry again and you go back. When your enemies join to seek you, you are valuable. They search around for alternatives and don't find and say, look, we have to just make do with what is available. When God wants to honor a man, he puts something in your life that is not available anywhere. At least not in that fashion. A few years ago, a man was praying for me, a great man of God. I went to see him and sow into his life. And then he looked at me and just laid his hands on my head and say, oh God, create a problem around his region that only him can solve. I said, what kind of prayer is this? Just slapped my head and said, if that prayer is answered for your business, you will be afraid. That's the kind of answer to prayers that make people angry.